We thank you for the shed blood. We thank you, God, for all that you've done and all that you are doing for us, oh God. Father, we ask you to continue to bless us and watch over us. Keep us, and God, we just thank you today, God. We thank you for all that you're doing, all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So tonight we just want to, again, we're going to be talking a little bit about a lot of different things. I believe we might have some technical problems in the beginning of the show, but amen, we're here, we're live now. And I think we had overcome some of the glitches here. Amen. Sometimes we have issues here on doing live radio. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be sharing about, again. Well, first let me go to some of my announcements. First announcement is we have a men's prayer line. It's a monthly prayer line and husband's prayer call. And it's hosted by Married Men Making a Difference. The call is hosted by Brother Darrell Purcell for Married Men Making a Difference. You can call your own number at 641-715-3650. Enter the code 867424#. And it's a call for 15 minutes of prayer and intercession. And afterwards, and after the call, we spend some time in fellowship and sharing testimonies and just ministering one to another. So we invite you to join us this Monday, the 13th of February. This Monday, the 13th. And this call is held every second Monday of the month at 7 p.m. So that's February the 13th at 7 p.m. Amen. Amen. Our next announcement is coming up. We have in February, Saturday, February the 18th, Boys to Men, Men's Fellowship at Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, 7433 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. And that's going to be on Saturday, February the 18th. And our topic tonight, that topic on that Saturday will be From Prison to Purpose. Amen. So we encourage you to come out. And this event, Men's Fellowship, meets every third Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So on February 18th at 10 a.m., Jesus Lives Ministry Fellowship, Men's Ministry, Boys to Men. And we invite you to come out and join there. You can also see the link on our Facebook page for the address, the flyer. We invite you to come out and join with us in fellowship to encourage one another, edify the body of Christ, and edify men to be the husbands, fathers, and leaders in the church, in the community, and in our homes. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to be sharing a little bit here. We're talking again. I'm going to continue on. First, we're going to begin with what we have here. We have seven things to start with your marriage. We know this is February. This is Valentine's month. This is the most romantic month of the year, unless you go with the month of your wedding anniversary. But for February, is the things we take time and recognize our spouse and recognize our marriage and celebrate marriage, celebrate the spouse, our husband and wife, and those that we are connected with, that we are tied together, and that God has blessed us with. So right here, I'm going to give a couple of suggestions, because in every marriage, in every part of our life, we need to have a vision and a plan, because we also want to be able to judge ourselves against each other, but judge ourselves to the Word of God and what we want to accomplish in the next 12 months. From Valentine's to Valentine's, or even between now and next month, or 2 months from now, or 6 months from now. But we have to set that vision in our home, because everyone, every married couple out there, it is one thing that you want to do better. You want to try to do better, to better love and serve your wife or your spouse. Amen. So we'll be going to touch on a couple of things here. If this is you, then I encourage you to take steps to what needs to be done to try and start some of these things in your marriage, to make a difference, to grow closer together, to improve your life together. The first one is start managing your money responsibly. And I believe that's a big one, because if we're honest and if we look at our relationships, the things that we argue about, how many times have you in the past, I'll just say it like that, have you in the past had disagreements and arguments over money? Spending too much, not having enough, not being able to make bills, in debt, all of those things. But if you would start this week to learn to work together, first individually and also corporate together, coming to the understanding of how you're going to manage your money more responsibly. So, I mean, it is. I'm not going to say there's a framework, there's a formula, but whatever works in your marriage, that money is no longer will be an issue. Set 90 days, 60 days, 6 months, a year, but set a goal to do something different. If it's savings, if it's retirement, if it's just getting out of debt, or whatever it is, you have to come together as a couple and start to take on that money and know where you're going. And the one word I want to use is budgeting. And the thing I learned about budgeting is you have to know where every dollar is going. There's a lot of ways to do that. There's a lot of financial teachings about that. I know one of the ways was to, one of the suggestions in one class I was in was to stop using cash, just use a credit or your debit card or your cash bank card, and then at the end of the month, see where all your money went. And then that way you determine that right there is one way to identify where your money's going. Just don't use cash and use a bank card or your debit card, not a credit card, a bank card or a debit card, and then find out where your money is going. And then set your vision accordingly. Number two, start responding romantically. That is just, start responding more romantically towards your spouse. In those times of romance, those times of coming together, those times when you're just together alone and quiet with no TV, no radio, no computer, no phone, no tablet, and you respond to each other romantically. You can make it up, do the best you do, do what you do best. That's all I'll say to that. Start expressing grace daily. Grace. That's just forgiving. See your spouse as one who needs your grace. And whatever they're dealing with, the choices they make, sometimes it's not us to be able to correct or come down on the things that our spouse does. But show grace. Have an open heart, forgiveness. Understand their point of view, the sins they make. Sometimes we make decisions just out of what we know, and we're doing the best we can. So we say start to express grace daily. Number four, start focusing on finding joy. I know we have a lot of marriage gatherings and seminars that talk about bringing the sexy back, but try bringing back the joy and the fun of your marriage when you were dating, when you were just out, when you enjoyed being around each other, when you didn't have no issues and no had to manage a problem or solve something, when you just was together and just had fun. Just fun and joy, enjoying each other. Plan for the spring and the summer just to go out and not do anything. Just get out the house and just go to the park, the beach, and just chill. Bring the fun and joy back. Number five, start accepting your husband or wife's flaws. And that's loving them right where they are. Just accepting where their flaws are. Stop trying to change them, because that can become a hindrance, that can become a problem, that can bring issues and divisiveness into a marriage when we want to change and make them better. Or I could fix him or her. That's a problem. So stop it and start to accept their flaws and love them right where they are. Number six, start practicing your lifetime vows, the vows you took at your wedding. That can be the foundation for the vision for how you're going to treat them. Sickness and health, better or worse, all those things, a vow that you're going to stay together, that you're going to start dealing with some problems and issues. You're going to start loving each other, treating each other better and different. Make new vows if need be. But that's what's going to do to strengthen your marriage. And last, and number seven, start showing respect for your husband and wife. And respect is one of those things you have to be able to show in the decisions they make and the things they do, how we talk to them, how we treat them, and especially when we in disagreement. But I think that's one of the problems. Once you start to disagree and you say things that are disrespectful, and once you disrespect somebody, that thing you may apologize, they may say they forgive, but there's always a scar. And some people, wherever they are in their psyche, if they feel disrespected in a relationship, that can be a hindrance to everything else, to every other part and every other aspect of your marriage. So start showing the respect, however that is. Whatever you know your spouse needs, start to do that thing in sacrifice of yourself. So we encourage you there. Amen. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. And we talk about and look for solutions for some of the problems and issues that men deal with as husbands father and son, and encourage them to be leaders in their home and in the community and the church, so that God, they can take their God-ordained role as men in this culture and in the body of Christ. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation. Also, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. And we encourage you to join us there and listen to some of our past broadcasts. You can listen to the repeat of this broadcast. You can send it around to folk. You can share it. And if you look on, when you go on the page, if you look on the right-hand side, there's a follow button there. If you click the follow button, you'll get updates on our new shows and we'll be broadcasting live, if you can't remember. Amen? Amen. So like I said, on Monday we covered a list of 7 biblical ways to strengthen our marriage. And I'm going to review the first, I believe we got through the first 4 on Monday. I'm going to give a quick review of those, and then we're going to finish up with the last 3. Amen? So one of the first ones, it was, don't make selfish decisions. And the scripture reference for that was Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 3. It says, do not, from selfish ambition or conceit, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And that's one of the things we have to look at, especially in marriage. If we look to our spouse to be more important than ourselves, that we want to serve them humility, think about them in all the decisions we make and the things we do, and think about them on ways that we can make their life better. Amen? Because sometimes that we read that scripture, and that's one of those scriptures, sometimes it's easier said than done, and it's hard work. It's not something we can naturally do out of our flesh, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes obedience to God's word first, and then not to be basically selfish. Everything has to be our way. We want everything we want when we want it, and we don't consider our spouse as husbands. We don't consider our wives. We make plans. We just do a lot of things without considering us. And I know sometimes we get caught up in the ways of the world, our busy schedules and things that we do on our jobs and everything, but we need to be able to consider. You know, if I know brothers who work, and they make meetings and make plans and put things on their calendar and don't consider their wife, don't ask their spouse about what they might want to do, what they have planned. They give away weekends without checking with the other spouse. These are the little things. So I just like to encourage you that both spouses, the husband and the wife, just need to take the time, step back, and speak lovingly and just be able to, set a schedule with one another, set time for one another. There are things that you do, the things that you plan. Just speak to each other and think of what the other one would think about. And it goes back to all aspects of your relationship. Amen? The next one was study your Bible together to get a renewed mind that you're thinking the same way. Do Bible study together. Understand Bible study at the church. Understand Bible study or your small group or even going to Sunday services together. But Are you creating and making time in this place where you're both reading the Word together? And one of the things I was told a long time ago is that to begin a couple's Bible study, if you're in church, talk about the sermon from Sunday. Because you heard one thing and your wife heard another, you'll come together for understanding. Because there may be some things that she might not got out of it that she heard that you didn't hear and some things you heard that she didn't hear. And that gives you opportunity and a foundation to start the conversation. Scripture reference for that, we're going to go to Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect. And if you're both on one accord, the times of going to the Word together, understanding the Word together, so that you both have to get the same understanding of what God is saying to you as a couple, is who he is, what is he trying to say in your marriage through you, and give an understanding that you might study and strengthen your bonds and create intimacy, that you're like-minded. You know, when people think alike, and they talk about, I know you talk about couples who can finish each other's sentences and those kind of things, but when we're thinking the same way, when we're thinking the same way about God, we thinking our minds are renewed and connected on what God is saying about the vision for your marriage as a couple, that can be very intimate. You know, when romance in your wife's mind is a special kind of gift, and to be in that place is especially a blessing. The next one is going to be surround yourself with other couples who will strengthen and encourage you. That one right there, I think, is very vital. And just as Christians, we're not lone rangers. We need the body of Christ. We need one another to encourage one another. God has put us here as faithful believers to just for that purpose, that we might be able to give God the glory in our unity. And it's the same thing with couples. Well, I'm going to go to Scripture. It's going to say 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Amen? So just think about it. I mean, I'll say this. We all know couples and people to go around and fellowship them with because how they talk to each other, they bicker, argue, fuss, and they just don't have a nice atmosphere. And also you have people that even in the church who talk disrespectfully about their spouses. They always complain about their spouses. And, you know, you need to spend some time around some people, you know, it's an old thing. I know a minister back in a couple of years ago, I know her favorite saying was she's married and loving it. She loved every part about being married, or the whole setup, she used to say, about being married, and she loves it, and she loves her husband. And I think that's what we need. We need to be around people who encourage and believe in marriage and what God says marriage is, and whose marriages are being lived out as a positive influence around us. There's two sides to that, too. I understand you might want to mentor or be around a couple and help them through the tough times, but don't make that couple put stress on your marriage. Amen? Even when we're talking to our married brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, don't let them get away with saying certain things about their spouse if they're confiding you. You have to be able to help them renew their mind and what they're thinking about their spouse and remind them or who God calls them to be, that it just might be prayer. It just may be a thing they're struggling with. But again, what we're talking about here is surrounding ourselves with other couples, your marriage. And that's most time people who have strong, solid, biblical marriages. Amen. Our next point. Now we get into the one. That was a review from on Monday. You can always go back and listen to our show from Monday, the 7th. We did the show there, and we talked about some other things. And we can always go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can join us, listen to that broadcast and tie it in with this one and get some of the insights and some of the things that we share with the brothers who are on the line. Amen. So tonight we're going to go into a fresh new topics. We have what do we have here? We have four more we're going to touch on tonight. And again, I just wanted to share and encourage the brothers, encourage the husbands, wives, and couples out there, even if you're dating or engaged, to encourage some of these things. That these are the seeds that we need to plant in relationships. That our relationships be steady, be biblically grounded, that it be deeply rooted, and be able to be examples. Because one of the things we have to understand about marriage is the symbol that God has put on the earth to represent his connection with us as a church. Because the Bible speaks as Christ being the bride and the church being the bride and Christ being the bridegroom. And that we are being prepared for him when he returns. So that symbolism of marriage is a representation of the relationship with Jesus and his church. Let's see what we have here. We have practice being vulnerable. That, to me, you know, we have to see that as just being open and honest and accountable and trusting and respecting and loving of our spouse. They're being vulnerable. That means telling the secrets, not keeping secrets, the things that you're struggling with as husbands, whatever you're struggling with. If it's money issues, job issues, you're being stressed out for whatever reasons emotionally, your wife is there to help you. She's a helpmeet. She's there for you to encourage and lean on and pray for you and encourage you. But we have to be, sometimes as men, we have to be able to open up and share with our wives the things that we're going through. Because we never know, God has put them in our lives to give us an answer to some of the issues that we're dealing with. They might have an answer. They might see it in a different way, in a different perspective. Because good leaders take wise counsel. You can't be a leader in a home and cannot take wise counsel from your wife. That you know your wife is part of you. She is yoked to you. You are bound together, and God has put something things in her that she definitely can be used to strengthen you. Amen. Then go to scripture. The scripture I'm going to refer there is Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. If we're open, we're not ashamed. We're open emotionally, we're open spiritually to our wives, to our spouse. They know things about us. You know, I look over the years, you know, no one can be married 30, 40, 50 years and don't know anything, don't know nothing about each other. They know everything about each other. And that's some of the reasons they build their relationship and love is on that vulnerability and that honesty. Because the facade and the pretense cannot be maintained. And the facade and the pretense is not a real trusting and real married relationship. Your relationship is not really based on the things that can make it stronger. Amen? To strengthen your marriage is to become vulnerable. It's not a weakness, especially for my brothers out there. Being vulnerable with your wife is not a weakness. It shows your strength that you know what you need and you know what it means to be together and strengthened and working together as a team. So we encourage you there. The next one is being understanding of one another. Man, that's real. That's serious. Well, let me go to scripture first. We are supposed to be understanding one another. Again, it goes back to what I think I touched on earlier about being accepting of one another, understanding who each other is. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, love your wives. Live with your wife, I'm sorry. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Living in an understanding relationship, we understand and accept who our wives are. And for wives, we understand who our husbands are. And we understand exactly where they are. We know where they are, we know who they are. And we know what they're capable of. We know what they're able to do. So it's one of those things that we have to be again. Again, it goes back to not trying to make our spouse into something that we want them to be, but knowing who they are. And these are one of the things we have to definitely be able to understand. When we're in the dating and a courting or whatever relationship we want to call it, we have to have honest and open conversation to get to know one another. I know folk who go to counseling and, you know, don't wait to after the wedding to figure out who you married. Let me put it right there. Know who you're marrying before you're married. And the only way you can do that is to have real conversations about real issues and being able to set the foundation and the groundwork that we can always come to each other and understand prayer and understanding and all these things that we say that we encourage you to reach out and to be able to build a lifelong relationship. Our next one is carrying over to that. It says, listen to each other. Word of God in Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears it, it is his folly and shame. You know, it's something that us as men is listening and hearing. You know, listening and hearing what our spouse is saying. And even our children as fathers. We have to take time out, listen to what they're saying. Because I know as men and as fathers, we want to solve it. We want to hear. We listen to what they say. We think we know what they're talking about. And this is what they should do. And that's not always what they're looking for. And sometimes they just need someone to listen. You know, sometimes our wives, they want to be able to voice it, get it out, and then God can give them the answer as they speak it out. But we have to be able to listen and hear what they're saying. And even if sometimes, you know, some of the things we're learning, like how to hold a conversation is, repeat back what we heard to see if we understood what they said. So that's the basis of communication right there. So we encourage you just to learn how to listen to each other, listen to the voice, listen to what they're saying. And then, you know, if they need you to respond or need your input, they'll ask you. Because sometimes, again, it's us brothers. Your wife just needs to talk sometimes and take time to listen to what she's saying. Amen? And finally, the last one here, the most important. We're going to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Thank God for your spouse. Learn to thank God for your spouse. There's nothing more I can say. Thank God that he puts you in their life, that they're in your life, that God is using them to grow you, to sanctify you, and using you to grow and sanctify them, to edify them, to encourage them in your life, to encourage them, you know, your wife and your children, and your wife to be a good parent to your good mother to your children, and all of it. And just thank God that they're in your life. Sometimes we have to realize, brothers, if it wasn't for this woman who we committed to and committed to us, where would we be? Because some of us would still be out there and be in some messed up places if we didn't get a mindset to settle down and commit. Because we can do a lot of things when we're out there by ourselves. The Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. So we have to thank God every day for our spouse. Every day, every moment, even if they're imperfect, even if there's times you'll disagree. And dare me say for Christian couples, they might get on each other's nerves, but still, you thank God for them. Because that even that pressure, even that disagreements are pushing us to a maturity, to growth, to a place where we learn how to compromise and work together and find solutions. And it's not all us. And that's using that, that God is using that to make us better, grow us up better. Amen? Amen. So we went through a couple, we went through here, we had 7 biblical ways to strengthen your marriage, but right before Valentine's Day. So I pray this would encourage someone. I pray you would take time out to see and try and implement it. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, I also don't want to come across as a man that has all the answers, because every day I, as a husband, strive to do better and be better. That's my prayer. At least 4 times a week, make me a better man, make me a better father, make me a better husband. But I want to also be able to encourage you and speak life into your situation, encourage you that you would not give up. Because, but then, you know, we as the body of Christ, we have to get to a place where our marriages and our relationships are examples to the rest of the culture. Because as we know, this culture is in a place where it's being deceived, or being the marriage is being, the definition of marriage is being changed, the definition of gender. Sexuality is being, in this year, 2017, there's so much things coming against and disagreeing with the Word of God is not what God's plan for this girl is. But again, if we understand we're in the end times, all things are going to be done wrong. Right is going to be called, wrong is going to be called right, and right is going to be called wrong, and people are going to rise up. And but again, for the body of Christ, for Christians, we know that God is in control. God is sovereign. God is in control. None of these things that are going on in this country and in the world in general, in this worldly culture, none of it is a surprise. Because the enemy is doing the same things he's done all the time. He's moving people's minds. He's deceiving folk into believing a lie. And then you see it has to be us as a remnant, as a believers, and as we claim to be the believers of the body of Christ, and believe in his word and what his son Jesus Christ has taught us, that we are the light and skin, the salt in this culture, and we have to stand for righteousness when everything else is going to turn against us. So I encourage you again to be able to start to work some things out. Whatever you need, seek God for it. Seek God in prayer. Seek God for prayer. Seek God for the things that you need, and just be encouraged. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, we invite you to join us every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., that we might be able to encourage you, speak about some of the issues that men are struggling with. They may be able to overcome them, and just be able to speak life into those situations and continue to pray. Amen. So again, let me remind you of some of our upcoming events. Again, this Saturday, February the 18th, we're having a boys to men Men's Fellowship at Jesus Saves Ministry at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. That's here locally in the Baltimore, Maryland area. So we encourage you to come out and join us for that. And also every third Saturday at 10 a.m., we gather together. This month in February, we're going to be talking about from prison to purpose. And it's not what you may think. Sometimes we have to worry about the prison of our minds and the prisons of our thinking. And we have to get out and think differently and have a godly mindset and a godly worldview to get to what God's purpose and what God created us for. Amen. And also on the second Monday of each month at 7 p.m., we have the Husband's Prayer Call hosted by Married Men Making a Difference. We encourage you to join us for that. This month is going to be on Monday, February 13th. You can call 641-715-3650 and enter the code of 867424#, and join us for 15 minutes of prayer from 7 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight. This is Vinicius Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We pray that all is well. We pray that your blessings, and you pray that God has spoken to you to something to said tonight that it will encourage the brothers and encourage the body of Christ. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural.